This is Central Time. Now, think about your childhood. Do you remember having lots and lots of unsupervised playtime, indoors and out? Or was most of your playtime organized? A supervised playdate here and there, organized sports and activities, always grown-ups in charge? According to our next guest, our answer to those questions can have an impact on our emotional and mental well-being. He's the lead author of a new piece about the benefits of unstructured, unsupervised play in child development. He says a decline in that kind of playtime is connected to an increase in anxiety and other mental health concerns for kids. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you let your kids play a lot without supervision? Do you let them explore outdoors on their own? What were your favorite ways to play as a child? What rules did you have to follow, if any? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Peter Gray is a research professor at Boston College. His work focuses on children's natural ways of learning and the lifelong benefits of play. Peter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me here.
There's two big themes in this new research you have. First of all, this increase in concerns about the emotional and mental well-being of kids. A lot of us might think that had something to do with COVID, and it did, but you say it goes back a lot further. Can you talk about what we've seen over the last four or five decades?
Yes. In fact, the rates of anxiety and depression and tragically even suicide among school-age kids has been increasing ever since about 1960. The biggest rate of increase actually was in the 1980s. We reached a peak around 1990. It hasn't gone up all that much since then, although there's been a bit of a rise very recently that has people concerned. But overall, the trend has been increasing really over the past six or even more decades. Increase in anxiety, depression, suicide, the rates of depression, the rate of suicide now among school-age children, tragically, is about six times what it was in the 1950s and 1960s. So this is a very serious problem. And over the same decades that mental health problems have been increasing, freedom for children has been decreasing. The freedom to play, to explore, to get lost, as the previous speaker was talking about, you know, the opportunities to get lost and find your way home. That's a growing experience, you know, that children are deprived of now. So the opportunities for independent activity, including independent play, free play, where not directed by adults, have been declining. And the point of the paper that you referred to is to draw a cause and effect connection between this decline in freedom to play and then do other things independently and the increase in anxiety, depression, and suicide among young people.
Before we connect the dots a little more between the two, Peter, I want to dig more into, and this has been a big part of your life's work, that decline in unstructured play. What has been driving that over, I think all of us think, well, when we were kids, we got to do everything. But no, you say this trend has been going on a long time. What has been driving this move away from unstructured play for kids?
Yeah, that's right. So parents of a certain age realize they had more time to play and explore than their kids did, but the grandparents will say they had even more time. And if there's great-grandparents around, they'll say they had even more time. This has been a continuous change. I think there's a number of drivers of it. I think the initial driver, if we go way back to the 1950s, was television, which brought kids indoors. Kids all used to be sent out doors all the time, you know, and they find other kids out there to play with. Television tended to bring kids indoors, but that was just the beginning. We also, over time, have increasingly created more restrictions for children in public spaces. Children are just less free. It used to be children were kind of everywhere, you know. You'd find children in the street, you'd find children in vacant lots, you'd find children everywhere, and it was just part of life. There'd be children everywhere. over time, for various reasons, children have been increasingly excluded from such places, partly for children's safety, the belief that they're in danger playing in the street or playing in vacant lots without an adult there, partly because of that, partly just because I think parents, too many adults regarded children as a nuisance, as noise, you know, sometimes they would be delinquent, and so there were increasing restrictions on children in public spaces. And then really what happened in the 1980s, I mentioned that the 1980s was probably the biggest decade for this change in how we treat children. In the early 1980s, there were a couple of very much publicized cases of young boys being kidnapped and murdered. And the media made a very big issue of it, understandably. You began to see on milk cartons pictures of missing children, and the assumption was that they must have been kidnapped and killed, which actually was not true, but that was the assumption people made. And so people began to believe that it's very dangerous for kids to be out there without an adult immediately present. The truth of the matter is this kind of crime even then was very rare, and it's still very rare, but people think it's common. And once you have that vision in your mind, it's very hard to say, oh, you know, I will freely allow my children, my young child to go out and play because this is such an uncommon thing. But once you have that in your mind, it becomes such a fearful image that it prevents children. I think that's a big factor in parents' fear. And then once over time, it even became public policy. So there are parents who have been accused of negligence for allowing their children to, say, walk to school by themselves as children at once always did, or to go and play in the park with other kids without an adult accompanying them. One other thing that's happened has, and again, this actually goes back to the 1960s, but with every decade, there's more and more emphasis on adult-directed sports, so, and other adult-directed activities for kids. And so the kids get into those activities, which are where the adults are solving all the problems, telling them what to do, and so on. It's more like school than like free play, as opposed to going out and creating their own games where they have to learn to solve their own problems. They have to learn how to negotiate with other kids, to create the teams, to decide upon the rules, to enforce the rules, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of learning that goes on in independent play that doesn't occur when adults take charge, because there the adults are solving the problems rather than the kids solving the problems.
We're talking to Peter Gray, child development expert and research professor at Boston College, finding out how children build life skills and mental resilience through independent playtime. We've seen an increase in emotional and mental concerns for kids over time, a decrease in unstructured playtime. Our guest says that's not just a correlation. We'll find out what the causes might be. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen this over the years, each generation having less free time, less unstructured playtime as kids? As a parent, have you tried to push back on that, or do you find yourself, like many parents, getting sucked into that very, very structured schedule of activities? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Peter Gray is with us, child development expert, research professor at Boston College, finding out why children need unsupervised, self-directed playtime in order to build life skills, develop resistance to anxiety and depression. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your playtime like growing up? How is it different maybe from your kids, or if you have them, grandkids? Have you seen less and less unstructured free play? Do you just give your kids the boot, send them outside? Make your own fun. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Peter, we've been talking about a rise in emotional and mental concern, health concerns for kids, that decline in unstructured playtime. What is it about unstructured playtime that can be a protective factor for kids that could actually help prevent some of these concerns?
So there's a lot of ways of talking about this, and one way involves a concept that psychologists call locus of control. The locus of control, actually, there's a clinical questionnaire that assesses locus of control, and it varies from a strong internal locus of control, which is the sense that you can solve problems, if something happens, you can deal with it, the sense that you have the ability and agency to kind of run your own life. At the other end of this scale of locus of control is external locus of control, which is the sense of kind of being a victim of fate and circumstance, the feeling that something can happen at any time and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, clinical researchers have long known that people who have an internal, strong internal locus of control are far less likely to suffer from anxiety or depression. It makes sense because they feel like if something happens, they can deal with it. People who are more at the other end are very prone to anxiety and depression because if something happens, they feel like I'm just a victim of this. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm dependent on powerful other people who may or may not be there to help me, or I'm dependent upon luck. So one thing that we know based using this questionnaire, over the same decades that children have had ever less opportunity to play and do other things independently, there's been a strong shift from independent internal locus of control to external locus of control based on this questionnaire, which has been given to normative groups of children and teens over the decades. And so what's happened is as children have less and less opportunity to play and explore, they also have a weaker internal locus of control, which makes them susceptible to anxiety and depression. That this has been established. Now, of course, it makes sense that to develop a strong internal locus of control, you have to have experience controlling things. You have to have growing experience with this as you are growing up, more and more opportunities to control your own life. That's really should be the primary function of childhood, is to have more and more of those experiences, to gain a sense of, yes, I can manage things. I'm not going to fall apart as I face the challenges of life. But we have been depriving children of those opportunities.
Let's bring on a caller. Russ is with us in Belleville. Russ, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking this call. I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and, you know, we get cranky if we had to stay inside because it's a rainy day, because we were basically out all the day, you know, making our own pickup softball games, you know, on a vacant lot where we mowed the base paths, and my dad got tired of the ball going into his garden, so he built the backstop. And, you know, today it seems like adults have to organize everything for the children to cart them to this game or that game. And they don't have that independent spirit and experience that I feel very fortunate that I was able to have.
Russ, thanks for the call. Self-organized sports, Peter. Can you talk about the benefits of that?
Yeah, so I grew up, too, playing pickup baseball, pickup basketball. Think about the difference between the old-fashioned pickup game and an adult-directed game. I used to play a lot of pickup baseball, including in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, when I was a kid. And think what happens. You go out to the vacant lot, and there's a bunch of other kids who come out. There's not 18 players. You've got to figure out what the sides are going to be. You try to make the sides fairly even, balance the good players and the less good players. You have to figure out there's no manicured field there. You have to create the field. You know, there might be buildings with windows over in one direction and a busy street in another direction. Hit it towards the windows, automatic out. Hit it into that street, automatic out. You've got big kids, little kids. You're going to pitch softly to the little kids. You're going to make big Billy bat left-handed with a broomstick. You know, all of this. Think of all the creativity that's going on, all the problem solving that's going on, all the negotiation that's going on. in that game, you are learning a lot more than baseball. You are learning life skills. You're learning how to create an activity, how to create rules, and how to enforce rules. You don't have an umpire calling balls and strikes. You've got to figure out some way to do that or fair and foul. The other thing you learn in this kind of a game, which I think is an extraordinarily important lesson, is it really doesn't matter who wins or loses, you know? It really doesn't. What matters is whether you're doing well and they're having fun. Everybody's trying to do their best, but in the end, nobody cares which team won or lost. Now, contrast that to the Little League game. The Little League game might be a good place to learn how to pitch a curveball, which you shouldn't be doing anyway if you're under about age 14, because it's bad for your elbow. May be a good place to learn how to slide into second base and so on and so forth. Good place to learn baseball skills. But how many people are going to really need those skills throughout their life as opposed to all of the skills that you learn when you have to create the game yourself? In a certain sense, I don't want to minimize the value of adult-directed sports. They're great for people who really get interested in the sport, really want to play it in a formal way. But in a certain sense, the children are pawns in that game. They're told what to do. They're told what position to play. They're not the ones who are creating the game, and they're not learning how to create in that opportunity.
Peter, just briefly in our last half a minute or so, are you seeing, partly because of your own efforts, pushback at a drive for more unstructured time?
I'm beginning to see an interest in it, and I'm also working with schools through an organization called Let Grow. We're working with schools to bring free play before school or after school, where children is in a safe place because there's teachers monitoring but not intervening. Where children of all ages in the school are playing together, either before school or after school. There's no rules except don't deliberately hurt anyone or and don't break anything valuable. And this is turning out to be very much appreciated by the children and increasingly by the teachers and the parents as well as they see the benefits of this kind of play. So this is one place where I'm seeing some movement towards providing opportunities for real play for children.
Peter, thanks again for joining us.
You're very welcome.
That's Peter Gray from Boston College. We'll get a link to Let Grow over at WPR.org/Central Time.